He got it. He got it, apparently. You ready now? Okay, Matthew 24. Looking down at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted, and shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, you look how the gospel is going out through the internet, through missionaries, through radio, etc., television. Folks, it's going out. The end must be near. Flip back in your Bibles to Psalm 36 now. I mean 37. Psalm 37. This is a good scripture to remind us of all the evil that's in the world around us today. And folks, it's getting bad. Somebody was walking in the park up north somewhere in New York, I think it was, and somebody ran up behind them and stabbed them to death for no reason. It's going on all the time now. Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the herb. Trust in the Lord. He's talking to us. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord. Be glad to serve the Lord, church. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who's prospering in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. May God bless his word. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the hope we have that you have promised you'd never leave us, your people, or forsake us. We thank you for the promises of the word of God. Bless these thoughts we share with your people today to comfort our hearts, to strengthen our hearts, to encourage our hearts, and to help us be determined that no matter what, we're going to keep serving the Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. In these last days, we just got a bitter experience 2 years ago, didn't we? COVID. Out of nowhere, we get this awful plague. I'm not saying God sent the plague. I'm saying God allowed the plague to achieve his eternal purposes. It come out of, it's believed, out of a lab in China. They let it get out. They didn't warn nobody about it. And directly, it was all over the world. And you know what? Over 3,660,000 people have died and still died from this COVID-19. Think about that. 3,660,000 people this COVID has taken their lives. It's not only did that, but people that's had it, a lot of them are still affected by the effects of it. Their food don't taste right. They got problems here and there. But it's affected a lot of people and still affecting people. And now various variants is coming off of it. And we don't know exactly how deadly some of them might be. This COVID-19 has not only been very deadly, but businesses have been closed, and many people have gone out of business. They've had to close down their businesses. Millions of people have been unable to work, and churches were not even allowed to have services. Folks, that's not right, because God said, "Don't you forsake assembling yourselves together." Yet the government insisted on closing down churches. There's too many in our government that hates church anyway. They hate the Word of God anyway. They heard my Savior anyway. Amen, our Savior. And they wish that we were closed down and gone. They don't like to hear the message of this book that they're wicked and they're evil and going to hell. But they are. They are. Yeah, people have been forced to stay home, wear a mask, as if they went out anywhere. Many household items have been out of stock, as well as groceries. Prices for groceries, lumber, gas, and other items have greatly increased. Plus, we have had many people who now are refusing to go back to work. Every business you see just about now, it got signs up. We need help now. And you go to a lot of places and you have to wait in line a long time because they don't have help. It's just sad, but it's a sign of the time. We also got a lot of people, as I was saying, that refuse to go back to work. And the drug companies who make vaccines have provided some vaccines the public can be vaccinated with to protect from this deadly virus. And sometimes even those vaccinated die. Because I tell you what, God decides when you die, folks. Amen. God decides that. But at the same time, God expects you to use common sense to protect yourself. But some people are not willing to take the vaccine shot to keep from having the virus. These have been and still are trying times for all of us in this country. Very trying time. Some people are not willing to take the vaccine shot to keep them from having the virus. Well, that's up to the individual. If you don't want to take it, don't take it. I mean, I don't think the government should make you take it. But I took it. I didn't feel no effects whatsoever from it when I got it. People are wondering, when will things get back to normal? It's been nearly 2 years. I don't think things are going to get back to normal like we used to know, folks. I don't think we're going to get back to that. Too many people have let wickedness envelop this country. The nation of Israel, let's talk about that just a little bit, about these last days. It appears to me we're drawing quickly to the end of the church age. Why would I say that? Because I look at Israel. In the Bible, Israel, God's chosen people. They're His covenanted people. And all the prophets in the Old Testament, and then you come to the New Testament writers, tell us about Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel has rebelled against the Lord. They've sinned against the Lord. They worship idols, and they've just refused to serve God. They are stubborn people, folks. You know, people can be stubborn. You can get too stubborn for your own good. You know that? Israel's been that kind of people for generations. Hey, let me tell you something. Us Gentiles, we ain't much better, are we? Amen. If any. No. No, you look at the people today that's refusing to be in church today on this beautiful day. They refuse to listen to this old Bible. Read this old Bible. With the fulfillment of prophecy of the Jews being gathered from all the nations of the world to their homeland, they've been out of their homeland for 2,700 years before. Now they've come back, and they are a nation again in 1948. In my lifetime, I got to see Israel become a nation. And God right now is bringing Jews from all over the world back to Israel. And they're coming back in unbelief. Don't miss that. They're coming back in unbelief. They're not coming back as believers. Now, there's some Messianic Jews over there, and there's some over here. But most Jews are in unbelief. They don't accept Jesus as their Messiah. But they're coming back. God says, I'm going to bring them back. God's bringing them back, folks. I think it's close to 8 million back over there now, 7 or 8 million. Let me read a scripture for you from Jeremiah about what God said. Jeremiah 16:14-15. Therefore, behold, the days shall come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. You know, God brought them out of Egypt a long time ago, brought them through the Red Sea. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. God drove the Jews all over the world, church. Why? They rebelled. They sinned. They worshiped idols. They broke His law. And God sent them out of His land and scattered them all over the world. And now in my lifetime and in some of y'all's lifetime, they come back to this nation and they became a nation. And they became a nation because God said, I'm going to bring them back. I will bring them again to their land, God said. And He's doing it right before our eyes today. That's another reason I believe this book is true. Fulfilled prophecy, folks. The Bible goes on and says also in Jeremiah 30:1-3, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write these, all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book, God told Jeremiah. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Jew, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. So, Jeremiah, writing way back in the Old Testament, tells us what God said, that God was going to bring them back. And in our lifetime, God has brought them back, church. He's brought them back for a purpose. Folks, the end of the ages are coming. Amen. And there's going to soon be a rapture that could happen any second. So keep your eyes on Israel. And right now, Iran hates those Jews so bad. All those Arab countries hate those Jews, most of them. Russia, she don't have no time for the Jews. We are standing in the shadow of the rapture of the church. I believe that. Let's talk about something else here. The nuclear threat here in the last days. You in the Old Testament and up till 1944, I believe it was, when they dropped those two nukes on Japan. You know, there wasn't any nuclear weapons. But today we got nuclear weapons, devastating weapons. And not just us. That's what's so bad. Not just us. When the Bible was written, there was no such things as tanks, missiles, rockets, bombs, jets, or any other modern-day weaponry. In the Bible, the weapons were mainly swords and bows, battering rams, horse-drawn chariots, etc. That kind of weapon is what they had back then. Or a sling like David had when he killed Goliath. In reading the book of Revelation, we see God use all kind of destruction. He uses locusts. He uses plagues. And you know, we may have some more plagues before the rapture. God used fire. He used earthquakes. He used hail. God used nature to defeat the enemies of Israel time after time. And in the book of Revelation, during the 7-year tribulation, God's going to use nature again a lot. Besides, there's going to be a lot of nuclear weapons busting during the 7-year tribulation time. Today we have powerful weapons that can kill thousands or even millions of people from one nuclear bomb placed on the right city. Some cities with over 1 million people in them. You drop one nuclear bomb there, wipe that whole city out. That's how powerful man has made a weapon, folks. And we got nations today that's got weapons pointed at us. Did y'all know that? Russia and China, they got nuclear weapons pointed at us. And they're not firecrackers either. This was demonstrated back in the early 40s to bring World War II to a close when Truman had them to drop those two atom bombs, they were called. They were called atom bombs. Boy, it shook Japan to their foundation, especially when that second one busted. 226,000 people were killed with two bombs. Think about that. 226,000 people killed by two bombs. I mean, it was devastating, folks. And folks, those bombs is firecrackers the side of what we got now. Today, the U.S. and Russia and China have bombs that are much more powerful than those atom bombs were. There's around 10 different nations now that have nuclear weapons, and more are seeking to build nuclear weapons. Two of the most dangerous nations seeking to make nuclear weapons are North Korea and Iran. And it's being talked that Iran may have nuclear weapons in a couple of months. That's how advanced they are. And you know what they've said? I heard their general say himself, we're going to annihilate Israel. What he don't know is he's going to get annihilated, because God is not going to let Israel be annihilated, folks. They're going to try. They're going to fail. They're going to fail. According to this book, and I believe it. I believe it. Israel is a hated people today. Satan hates the Jewish people. Why does Satan hate them so much? Because the Messiah came from Israel. Amen. The Messiah that's going to destroy him. Amen. That's why they hate him, the Jewish people. Many nations are the sworn enemy of the Jewish people. There, the Jews gave the Holy Scriptures. God used 40 different men to write down the Word of God. And hey, the devil hates that. He hates these scriptures because they talk about he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire one day. The Jews gave us the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel 38, listen to this. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O God, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws. Listen to what God said he's going to do to these people. And I'll bring you forth and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, and of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, all of them with shields and helmet, Gomer and all his band, the house of Tergamon of the north quarters and all his bands and many people with thee. God says, I'm going to bring you down on my own people. And then God says, I'm going to call for a sword against them throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord. And every man's sword shall be against his brother. In other words, they're going to, all these Arab nations and Russia's coming down on Israel in a war to destroy Israel. And God's going to cause confusion, and the armies is going to start killing one another. Won't that be something? And, oh, listen, I will plead against them with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, and overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. When God turns loose the elements on all these armies, they're going to be devastated. They're going to be devastated. Thus I will magnify myself, God said, and sanctify myself, and I'll be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That's what Ezekiel wrote about the Lord. So when all these armies make their plan to come against Israel, and we don't know when that's going to happen. Is that going to happen before the rapture? We don't know. Bible scholars don't know. Or is it going to happen right after the rapture? Again, nobody knows. But it is going to happen. It is going to happen. God does not need chemical weapons nor nuclear bombs to destroy an army. All God's got to do is speak. And they'd be dead. He's going to do that at the second coming. He's just going to speak. God has only to speak, and he can use the weather or nature to accomplish his will. You think about the Bible in Revelation talks about 100-pound chunks of ice falling out of heaven. You let a 100-pound ball of ice hit the top of this church, it'll bust this concrete this church is on. And you think that would be just one block. You think about it falling like hail can fall sometime. 100-pound chunks of ice are falling on anything. Boy, it'd be destructive, folks. Folks, you can't play with God. God is God. Let's talk about something else of today in these last days. Boy, what are we seeing now? Evil and wickedness. Isn't it sad? We got a president, he'll make a comment and he'll turn around and walk off and he'll say, they'll catch him on the mic saying, what am I supposed to do now? They don't know what to do, folks. Did you know that I forgot her name now. Who's over the house? What's her name? Nancy. Yeah, how do you forget Nancy? Did you know she's getting the same way? She can't hardly make a sentence either. Is that what's wrong with me? She's in bad shape, folks. We tried to listen to her last. I didn't understand what she said, and then she'd grin. Oh, Jesus. Evil and wickedness is everywhere, folks. Our country. Who would have believed in the 50s our country would be like it is today? Amen. We used to have a wonderful country, folks. Never would I have thought I'd see today what I'm seeing in this country today. Amen. People are mean today, folks. People will kill you for nothing. Defund the police. What a stupid idea. And they've defunded it while there's riots going on and looting and stealing and killing people. And they say, defund the police and all that'll go away. Consider the man in his SUV killing people in a Christmas parade. In a Christmas parade, folks, and somebody goes driving down the middle of the street, running over children and old people. And what's so bad? He had a record that long. Amen. And these judges and these people that have authority to keep evil off the streets. You know, they're being bought off. They're being bought off. Consider the 15-year-old boy this week with his father's weapon going to school and shooting, killing these school children. I told someone a while ago, there's three that's responsible for that young boy's killing all those students and shooting the teachers. There's three, and I'll tell you the three. The first one is the government. The government is responsible for that. They took prayer out and the Bible out of the schools. They don't want any training about there's a God you're responsible to. The government, I believe, is number one. Amen. Number two is the school. They're teaching evolution. They're teaching that you come out of a mud hole. Amen? That's number two. Number three is the parents. I bet they never took the young into church. They never talk about the Lord at home. I bet you, if I was a betting person. That's the three involved in that boy. A nice young, looking little young boy. But he's always a troublemaker from what I'm understanding. No training. My goodness alive. He needed a peach tree close by and he'd have been sent to get the sticks off of it to be whipped with if my mom and daddy had him. In Genesis 6:5, there's a God, folks, sitting in heaven looking down on all of us. Did you know that? And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and the every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6:5. You better watch what you think in church, every one of us. You better keep your mind out of the gutter. Or out. Don't let hate get in your heart and mind. Don't be controlled by hate. Proverbs 4:17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. Ezekiel 3:19, yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel 3:19. We are responsible to warn men. That's the reason I wanted more radio time, folks, for our church. Warn people. Get the word out. Somebody's got to warn them. There's too much on the radio that goes under the name of gospel that ain't gospel. In Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents. Why? They forgot to be thankful to God and recognize God. That's what's happened to society. That's what's happened to this world. God told Noah that after the flood had subsided, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Listen to what God said. Listen to this. This is bad, folks. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Even from our youth, we are evil. That's bad, ain't it, folks? It's bad. And if we're not trained as young'uns, if we're not disciplined, if we don't have authority to rule over us, take an interest in it for our good, and let us be raised under the sound of the gospel, we'd wind up in hell, every one of us. Let me talk a little bit today now about out-of-control leaders. We got out-of-control leaders now. In our government today, we do not have very many politicians who are patriotic. Most of them are not patriotic. They want this country destroyed. They want it changed to become a social country. And these politicians have been bought with money. They've been paid off. There's too much money being passed around for their votes to allow liberal programs to become the laws of society. These politicians go to take a position of authority in our government, and they go up there with just average lifestyle. Not much money. Getting by. But they don't have to be there very long for they're millionaires. They're getting paid off by the people lobbying them for their vote. Paying them big money for their vote. And that's what's happened to our country today. That's the reason Donald Trump was so hated. Because they couldn't buy him. He wouldn't take their money. They hated him because he couldn't be bought. Well, you don't find many politicians like that, folks. You think about the money passed around to get to murder babies. And right now, they're about to have a fit because the Supreme Court just may end abortion are restricted much more. And boy, is these women, libbers, having a fit. And even a senator, a woman senator, is threatening the Supreme Court, church. They ought to have her locked up or marched out in front of the courthouse and shot. You're not supposed to threaten the Supreme Court. She's a Democrat and she's getting by. They get by. There's two standards now. One for the Democrats and one for the Republicans. If a Republican sneezes, he's put in jail. The Democrats can kill, steal, lie, and they are patted on the back. That's the standards. I might have exaggerated, but not much. We got states right now, you can't have the death penalty for no matter how awful the crime is, they won't put them to death. Well, this old book says put them to death. Gay laws allowing marriage between men with men and women with women. And God says this is an abomination. And his judgment is on this ungodly perversions. Drugs and alcohol fill the homes and roads of our country because politicians have been bought with their vote and the idea with the revenue we can use it, the tax money, to help our schools, fund our schools, and help take care of our roads. That's what they have put tax on us for, on our gas, to help the school system. And has made the school system rotten as hell. When I was growing up, we never heard tell of a school shooting, folks. There weren't no school shootings back when I came along. We never heard tell of drugs back then. If there was anyone gay, they were frowned upon. I remember maybe one instance somebody said so-and-so was, you know. But that was a strange thing. Now, when I was in college over in Pembroke, I had a professor who came to my house and propositioned me. He was that kind of person. He even brought me a present, you know. He knew I was on the radio. Johnny, I'll get you for that, son. He knew I was on the radio, and he brought me some new tapes. Real to real. All right, Miss Vashti, I'll get you too. Listen, I'm telling y'all the truth. I'm not. Look, Miss Vashti's had to cool off by now. She's having hot flashes. I'm telling y'all the truth. He had boys staying with him. But he came trotting over to my house and brought me some tapes, you know, from a radio program. I said, I don't do stuff like that, sir. I was living by myself at that time. Isaiah 56, 10 and 11. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant, God says. They're all dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one of his gain from his quarter. And Jeremiah again said in 50 and verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. You see, the shepherds mentioned there, that they are the leaders of Israel. That's who he was referring to. The leaders have misled Israel. Church, our leaders have misled this country, folks. They've misled this country. Today we're living, I believe, just before the rapture of the church. With world conditions as they are, and with the hatred of Israel and the threatening of Israel by her many enemies, it seems our home going is getting very, very close. And what's so interesting is this. It's speeding up. You know, have you noticed the days, a quarter to five in the afternoon, it starts to get dark, and all of a sudden, in just a few minutes, it's dark. It's just going fast. Seems like it just plunges down that old sun. And that's the way it's what's happening here at the end of the age. It's a snowball effect. All the wickedness, the evil, the ungodliness that's going on in the world is just speeding up. And that causes me to think even more so. We're not here for much long time. But I want to tell you this, church, How bad it's going to get, we don't know. The Bible don't tell us that. It could get real bad for us, folks. But what I'm trying to encourage you in these thoughts today is this. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep loving the Lord. Keep serving the Lord. They can't do nothing but kill you. Amen? And then we get there quicker. Amen? Amen? But I'm just trying to encourage you that there is, we're moving fast, and how bad, how much we're going to have to suffer, I don't know. And nobody else knows either. But Jesus said this, church, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. In Hebrews 13:5, I believe it is. What our country needs today and the world is the saving power of Jesus Christ. Sin is destroying people everywhere and in any way. The hearts of all people are deceitful and desperately wicked, Jeremiah wrote in 17:9. This week, Faye and I saw a preacher. He was on TV. I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of people was out there listening to him. But he beat on his chest and made himself equal with God. And I'm telling you, all the stadium was just packed with people that applauded. Folks, nobody's equal to God. And this is the kind of people that are getting all the crowds of people. And what about this week? Y'all heard about all the money in Joel Osteen's bathroom at the church? The plumber was there to work on the toilet. It was something going on with the toilet or something. And the plumber pulled the commode out, and there fell out $600,000 that was in the wall in envelopes. $600,000 in the wall. Somebody's got, they think it's related to the money that got gone in 2014, that they never figured out what happened with that money. And now some of the Democrats wants the churches to be taxed. That's just stirring that up some more. All that money. We can get some money from the churches. Oh, the wickedness in the heart of man. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. As we close today, think about this, folks. With the wickedness of man, the evilness of man, isn't it amazing God still loves us? Isn't it amazing God still loves man that's so wicked? And that's why it took the Son of God himself, who was very God. Jesus Christ was very God Almighty, church. Don't you miss this. He was in a human body, but he was God Almighty himself. It took him to deal with our sin problem. Nothing else would have got rid of our sin problem. But when Jesus died on the cross, God was satisfied in letting Jesus take my place and your place and pay for all of our sin. Isn't that awesome, folks? What a good God, folks. Oh, how he's worthy to be loved and served today, and us to be faithful to today. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Oh, look at the people making an unwise choice. Very few people are choosing life. Most people are choosing, I want to do what I want to do. I'm not interested in the Bible. I'm not interested in that. I just want to do this and I want to do that. I don't want my life to be wasted. I might miss out on something, so I got to go do this and do that. I don't have time to go to church. Besides them people, ain't no better than me. That's true. We're no better. We just been saved, amen. And we're going to heaven. There's going to come a separation day one day. Sin has blinded people that they can't see the eternal consequences of their sin. They're blind. They're dead to God. God knows man's sin nature. Because of his love for man, he sent us a Savior who took our place and paid for our sin debt. What about all these unsaved people when they go to the judgment and then they fully realize how bad they messed up in life? There was the gospel. They could have got saved. They could have went to heaven. They could have lived in a paradise. And they spurned it for some of the crumbs this sin-sick world has to give you. Boy, they're going to be in a sad, sick state because there's no second chance. When you get to the judgment as a lost man or woman, there's no second chance. You get to spend eternity with the one that deceived you and the one you served. Paul said in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." We've been saved by the grace of God, not because I was good, not because I deserved it. We've been saved by grace, unmerited favor, because of only one reason. We said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me, and I'm trusting him to be my Savior, and I commit myself to him," and he saves us. He makes us a new person. He puts us in Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We become a new people. We're the people of God. We're the children of God. And one day, we're going to go live with God forever and ever and ever. And it's getting close in many ways for some of us. Amen. Lord, speak to hearts today. Lord, as we talk about these last days and all that's going on in the world, encourage our people here, Lord, to keep trusting the Lord, to keep loving the Lord and serving the Lord. Lord, give us the grace we need to face what the future holds, and help us to be faithful as we wait to hear our Savior say, "Come up here." And what a shouting day that's going to be. And we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May the Lord speak to hearts today. I trust that you have some thoughts on your mind, concerns on your mind. You come to the altar today and talk to the Lord.